Mind me asking a personal question. Who are you loyal to? We can be loyal to many things. As the number of you know, I work in the warehouse at IVP, well, for the next 3 weeks at least. No, I'm not counting, honestly. And I'll guarantee the one topic of conversation tomorrow morning will be how certain teams did, local teams. All the local teams, Notts County, Nottingham Forest, Derby County. I've even heard Leicester City mentioned. Yes, well, of course there is loyalty to comrades in wartime. Margaret and I sometimes do the walk over Crich Sand, the lighthouse-shaped monument to the men of the local regiments. Certain areas, of course, we can be loyal to. Before I have to walk home, I'd better mention that my wife is loyal to Lancashire. Sorry to those of Yorkshire. But loyalty, you see, is what was the hallmark of this church in Philadelphia. And it wasn't loyalty to a particular team or an area. It was loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Thompson Chain Reference Bible I have at home, this church is called the Loyal Church. The Loyal Church. James Ramsay, the American Puritan, calls this church a church feeble yet conquering. And it's the second of only two churches, sadly, of the seven, who received no condemnation or criticism from the Lord Jesus Christ. Smyrna was the other. And we see who is the one who is the author of this message. The Lord Jesus Christ, holy and true. Holy denoting his deity. This is none other than God the Son. True, denoting his utter reliability. His word, we might say, is his bond. Are people able to say that of you and I? Do you know so-and-so? You can't say this of many people. Do you know so-and-so? Their word is their bond. They say something, they mean it. Ever more true, and never more true, of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 29, Saul had disobeyed God. And Samuel had the unenviable task of telling him that the Lord God had taken the kingdom away from him. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 29, Samuel says, and also, the strength of Israel will not lie, nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. God does not fickly change his mind, as we so often do. He has the keys of David. We referred to Isaiah in the communion service. And in Isaiah chapter 22 and verse 22, we find these words. Isaiah chapter 22, speaking of Eliakim and the keys of the house of David, will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. Precisely what is true of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Reverend Alec Mateer, in his commentary on the prophecy of Isaiah, speaking of Eliakim in Isaiah 22, has given the authority to legislate and make binding decisions. Exactly the authority our Saviour has. Coming back to Revelation in verse 8, he says, I know thy works. Here again, we meet the same opening phrase. I know thy works. I know your works. He knew of their loyalty, and he approved of it. He knows our works as a church and as individuals. But do they give him pleasure or pain? And then come some wonderful words. Behold. That word behold doesn't just mean have a quick glance. It means stop and look. Take a good look. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. That is a tremendous promise. And as a church, we've known it, surely. You only have to go out that door and look straight across. That's one door the Lord has opened. Into the Westfield. To sing hymns. May God keep that door open. I think of Gate and School. For a while, that door was shut. And then the Lord opened it. The Lord did it. But it also says he shuts and no one opens. That's why we read in Acts chapter 16. You remember? They wanted to go into Bithynia. The Holy Spirit said no. That particular door was shut. Why? Because Paul had the vision, the man of Macedonia. Come over into Macedonia and help us. And when God does it, there is no argument. But it also reminds us of what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. A great and effectual door is open unto us, and there are many adversaries. The two go together. Satan never takes God's open doors lying down. Oh yes, and he's the same today. And the Lord commends this church. Thou hast a little strength, feeble yet prevailing. And we may look at the task, we may look at the city of Derby or the city of Nottingham. So you go out on a Tuesday and see the countless people passing by and say, we are little strength, but. In my mind comes what David spoke to us in the feeding the 5,000. Do you remember? 5 loaves, 2 fish. 5,000? But in the Lord's hands, 12 the people fed and 12 baskets gathered up. When the Lord comes into the picture, who knows? Thou hast kept my word, says the Lord. You have kept my word. Oh, may God be able to say that of this church. You folk at Castlefields, yes, you may feel you have a little strength, but you kept my word, no matter what. And has not denied my name. Do you remember the Lord's words in Matthew chapter 10? Very solemn words. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whoso shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. It's not necessary to speak to deny the Lord. We can deny him by our silence as much as by our speech. And I remember hearing a preacher many years ago saying, sometimes silence isn't golden, it's just plain yellow. We laugh, but how true. Do you know, my friends, as I look back on my life, I hear that and I cringe. Because I look back on my life and there were times I should have spoken and didn't. Well is it for us if the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows all, can say to you and I individually, you may have had little strength, but you've kept my word. You've not denied my name. Yes, they had their opponents just like we do. Behold, in verse 9 says the Lord Jesus, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. False professors are nothing new. And they may fool others, but not him. Not him. Not the one who sees all, and knows the very secrets, where they came from. The synagogue of Satan. Leon Morris says, their assembly for worship did not gather together for God's people, but for Satan's, who is the accuser of the brethren. Look at the promises in verse 9. They would fall before their feet. These people who had little strength, who had not denied his name. And I will make them know that I have loved you. That is a staggering promise. That he has loved us. We may be despised by an unbelieving world. They may mock us and scorn us. But on that day, we shall be confessed by the Lord of glory. The wonderful promise in verse 10. Because thou hast kept, I will keep. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. He will keep us. No matter what. Again, James Ramsey says, to be kept from out of the hour of temptation or trial cannot mean not to suffer temptation or trial, but to be saved from its power, to be kept through it and brought safely out of it. Do you know, I think this is something I need to learn more and more. Now perhaps you do too. that we're in his hands and no one else's. In his hands and no one else's. And then there's a wonderful promise that must have brought sweet assurance to this church and should to us. Behold, I come quickly. Quote James Ramsay again, what sweet assurance is here for the sorely tried believer. This is to the struggling church and waiting believer the sum of all promises. He is coming soon. Our redemption is nearer than when we first believed. Hold fast, says the Lord Jesus, that fast which thou hast, let no man take thy crown. Hold it fast, don't lose it. Leon Morris in his commentary points out that while no one could, of course, steal their crown, they themselves could forfeit it as did Esau to Jacob, Reuben to Judah, and Saul to David. Points out that to serve God is a high privilege, but it is withdrawn and given to another when anyone fails to fulfill his task. We need to persevere. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. It's one of the things that Philadelphia was known for. Religious observance, pillars. It was also known for earthquakes. Philadelphia was destroyed by a severe earthquake in AD 17. I wonder what that one would have measured on the Richter scale. But as they look around them, these feeble people, they see the temples. And here is God saying, the temples you see around, the pillars, these can be shaken, destroyed by an earthquake. But not the pillars of the temple of the living God. Matthew Henry puts it like this, not a pillar to support the temple, but a monument to the grace of God. A monument that should never be defaced nor removed, as many stately pillars erected in honour of the Roman emperors and generals have been. And then we have the promises. The name of my God, indicating that the overcomer belongs to him. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write upon him and the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, indicating that he or she, that you and I have citizenship rights in the new Jerusalem. And my new name, possibly referring to the new state of affairs, says the commentators, brought about by the consummation of redemption. Little wonder that once again the Holy Spirit asks us if we're listening. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Where does our loyalty lie? What are we loyal to? Who are we loyal to? Above all, are we faithful? Are we loyal to sin or to the Saviour? Are we faithful to him? Yes, we may consider ourselves feeble and failing Christians. Remember, he knows our works. But are we keeping his word? Are we loyal to him? Let us be careful that no one take our crown. Do you remember the Apostle Paul writing to the young pastor Timothy? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says this: "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Can you and I honestly before God say that? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. These feeble yet faithful folk in Philadelphia could say that. They have seen God open doors, as we have. In a little while we'll hear the thrilling tales of God opening the doors for Bibles to go into hotels and other places. But what about us? What's laid up for you, my friend, on that day? Is it a crown of righteousness? Or is it the judgment of God? Because you know in your heart that you are not right with Him. We heard this morning that even if we are brought up in a Christian home, and I speak as one who was brought up in a Christian home, so when you put it reverently, God has no grandchildren. He has only children. I remember a Sunday evening very clearly when the Holy Spirit said to me, "Roger, you might have been brought up in a Christian home, but you're on your way to hell. You need to turn and come to the Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, my friends, you know your own heart, and He does. What's laid up for you as you sit here tonight? Is it a crown of righteousness? Or would to God call you into eternity tonight, would it be a condemnation? God is giving you space to repent. Don't abuse it. Come to Him. Come to Him. Confess your sin. Seek His forgiveness. Lest on that great and terrible day you hear those terrible words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But for those of us who know Him and love Him, is it worth it? Oh yes. Oh yes. We know not what we shall go through before we meet Him. But I'll tell you this. Whatever you and I face in this life will be nothing compared to meeting Him on that day and hearing from His lips, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Are you like this church in Philadelphia? Are you loyal? Loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you kept His word? Have you not denied His name, but rather confessed it? Yes, you may be scorned for it. But will you take every opportunity to share the gospel tomorrow, wherever the Lord puts you? Do you pray for opportunities? "Lord, today, give me someone I can speak to. Bring the only. Get them to make a comment. Get them to ask a question." That's what I have known at IVP. Delivery drivers. What do you do here then? What do you sell? there's been the opportunity simply to share the gospel, to offer a tract. Oh, my friends, are we willing to be loyal to him? But on that day, he may look at us and with a smile of welcome say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Oh God, grant it to be so, for his name's sake. Let's pray. Lord, we look at these things and we tremble. We know that we are so unworthy, so sinful. Oh Lord God, please, let everyone here be able to know your well done, good and faithful servant on that day. Lord, if there are any here who are not yet your own, make them your own. We beg you, for your glory's sake, for the good of their eternal souls. And Lord, may you be pleased to use us as a church. Thank you for the openings you've given to us. Lord, we would ask for more, that more may hear the gospel and be saved. In our Saviour's name, amen. Amen.